The title of today's sermon is Trumpet of God. Let's begin in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. This is where I have taken the title of today's sermon from. In 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 16, we read, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." Those are very encouraging words that we are given in the Scriptures. We read in Matthew 24 and verse 31, "And the Lord shall send his angels with a great shout of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." The Feast of Trumpets, brethren, pictures the time when Jesus Christ will make a clean sweep. He will clean house every institution of man that stood contrary and defiantly against the will of God. This Feast of Trumpets, in which Jesus returns, will mark the end of 6,000 years of man's rule on this earth, and it will usher in the rule of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God. Today symbolizes the final turning point in man's history. Jonah preached to sinful Nineveh. You remember the story of Jonah and the whale. He went and he preached to Nineveh, and Nineveh repented. That was a great thing. They turned in repentance, in sackcloth, in ashes, and they repented. But Scripture shows us that man is not going to repent in the end time, during the times of the trumpets. We're counting down to the return of Jesus Christ, and so many details are given to us in the Scriptures. On this Feast of Trumpets, we're going to go back and look at how events are unfolding. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 1. "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto John to show unto his servants," that's us, "things which must shortly come to pass." Brethren, let me have you turn over to Isaiah chapter 2. The Feast of Trumpets pictures the return of Jesus Christ to this earth in great power, in conquering power. All of the trumpets are God's wrath because of mankind's rejection of him. If mankind had not rejected God, God would not come against mankind with the trumpet plagues. God is coming against those who are proud. He's coming against those who are arrogant and puffed up. We read in Isaiah 2 and verse 12, "For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty." This is in an evil way. "And upon everyone that is lifted up, he shall be brought low." Verse 17, "And the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be made low, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. The idols he shall utterly abolish." So there we see a good reason that Christ is coming back, because of the idolatry in the world. Brethren, I'd like you for just a moment to construct a chart in your mind that will help in this complicated discussion that we're having. We're going to be talking about so many different concepts and things today, like seals. We'll see the seals that are mentioned in Revelation. We'll see the trumpets. There are seven seals. There are seven trumpets. There are seven vials. There are three woes. And it starts to get so mixed up in our mind unless we have a real simple chart. And the way I like to think of it is simply 777. And I'll try to explain it without being complicated. First of all, the Bible talks about seven seals. And we'll see that Jesus Christ is the one who is qualified to open those seals. Right at this moment, they're all sealed. At the seventh seal, the last seal, the seventh seal is the first trumpet. And we'll have seven trumpets. Seven seals, then seven trumpets. When we get to the last trumpet, the seventh trumpet, is the seven vials. So you have seven seals, seven trumpets, seven vials. Now that should help a little bit in keeping things clear in our mind. And the way that God has revealed it to us is that when the seventh seal, the seventh trumpet, and the seventh vial are finished, that's when Jesus Christ comes back in great power. I might mention that the first four seals are what's known as the four horsemen of the apocalypse. And then, beginning with the seventh seal, the first trumpet, that's when the day of the Lord begins. That's the 1 year before Jesus Christ comes back. Isaiah chapter 13. Scriptures reveal to us, brethren, that the nations of the world, all the nations, you just think around the whole globe, they're going to all be gathered in concert against the returning Jesus Christ. The whole world is going to fight against Christ. But sinners are going to be destroyed by Christ. Now, we can already see that the whole world is against God. They're trying to throw God out of everything. But we see in Isaiah 13, in verse 4, the noise of a multitude in the mountains. The mountains is a reference to all the nations. Like as of a great people, a tumultuous noise of the kingdoms of the nations gathered together. The nations want to fight in concert against Christ. The Lord of hosts musters the host of the battle. Verse 5, Isaiah 13 and verse 5. They come from a far off country, from the ends of heaven, even the Lord, and all the weapons of his indignation to destroy the whole land. Verse 6, howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt, and they shall be afraid. Pangs of sorrow shall take hold of them. It's going to be a terrible day, brethren. And they shall be a pain, as a woman that travails, as in childbirth. They shall be amazed at one another. Their faces shall be as flames. Verse 9, behold, the day of the Lord comes, cruel, both with wrath, fierce anger, to lay the land desolate. And he shall destroy the sinners, therefore out of it. Brethren, the scriptures are exceedingly clear. God will destroy sinners from this earth. Nothing sinful can come into the presence of God the Father. This earth is going to be cleaned up. All professing Christians have heard that, but they continue to reject God and the things of God. Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5 that mankind is going to believe at the time that all this is coming together that everything's really going well, everything's going pretty good, he says in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 3. For when they say, peace and safety, everything's peaceful, everything is under control, peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as we just saw in Isaiah, as travails upon a woman with child, they shall not escape. Brethren, we are living in the end times. We are living in the last days. In today's sermon, we will see all the things that we see and take for granted. This entire earth and everything in it, all these things that are taken for granted by us and by everybody, they're about to undergo horrific change, if not total destruction. What's going to go through horrific change and terrible destruction? Just enumerate some of them. Think about things like government systems, the postal service. Everything's going to be shortened and interrupted. Military preparedness and support. All our defenses do no good. Farming and diseases in the crops. Communications, transportation, social security and disability that so many depend on. Sharply curtailed and then completely interrupted. Religious persecution, racial intolerance. The healthcare system will be utterly undependable when it's most needed. More and more, brethren, you'll see people and the governments trying to shore up these failing systems. These systems will be defaulting and they'll be going to pieces, and the government will just keep curtailing services and adding more people, adding more costs and trying to shore things up until it all caves in and falls apart. And this world, not just the United States, but this world is going to be in terrible chaos, and they will come together against the returning Jesus Christ. More and more, God is allowing man to see that he's not up to the task of directing his own affairs in this world without the help and direction of God. But man will not admit it. We read in Joel chapter 1 and verse 15, alas for the day of the Lord is at hand, and as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come. That's the day of the Lord. It's a terrible time. We read in Joel chapter 2, verse 1, blow the trumpet in Zion, as we heard in the opening song. Blow you the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It's near at hand. Okay, brethren, turn over with me over to Revelation 5. we'll see here where God gives us this framework that we were speaking about with these seven, seven, sevens, seven seals, the seven trumpets, the seven vials. Revelation 5 and verse 1. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. So that's where these seals come from. God has a plan, but it is sealed up, and it's sealed up until these last days. I can't open it. You can't open it. On today's Feast of Trumpets, we will concern ourselves primarily with the seventh seal, the seventh and last seal. The seventh seal contains the seven trumpets. Revelation 5 and verse 2. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven or earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. We don't have a clue, brethren. We don't know, and we can't know. And so John says in verse 4, and I wept much. He was very sad, very emotional, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And it was obviously something that was extremely important and needed to be known. Next, we're going to see that Jesus Christ is worthy to open and read the book. Verse 5, and one of the elders said unto me, don't cry, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain. This is Jesus Christ being described here, brethren. I think most people understand that and see that. Having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And he came and he took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for you were slain. This is a reference to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. You've redeemed us to God by your blood. That refers only to Christ. Out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. And you've made us unto our God kings and priests. And we shall reign on the earth. Beautiful, beautiful way that it's put. Let's go briefly, brethren, through the first four seals, just so that we keep the framework intact. And as I mentioned, the first four seals are the four horsemen of the apocalypse. And that means Revelation, four horsemen of Revelation, the revealed truth from God. And those four horsemen are their symbols, their figures of things that are being revealed. And we know the first seal. That's the first horseman, the false prophets and the preachers. Revelation 6 and verse 1. We see that it is a lamb, Jesus Christ, who's worthy to open the seals. Revelation 6 and verse 1. And I saw when the lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, coming see. And I saw a white horse. However, brethren, this is where the world goes off. This white horse is a counterfeit Jesus Christ. Jesus is the one that has the power and the authority and the ability to open the seals. But what is revealed, this white horse, is not Jesus Christ, but a counterfeit Jesus Christ. Christ has a sword and he has many crowns. So as we go through the scriptures, and you can put this in your notes, Matthew 24 verses 3 to 5, we see that it's Jesus Christ himself who gives us the meaning of the seven symbols. That's when Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives and he told his disciples privately what would be the sign of his coming. And Jesus Christ said unto them, don't let anybody deceive you. For many will come in my name saying, I am Christ. And at the same time, they'll be deceiving everyone. They'll deceive many. So brethren, the first horseman that we see here is religious deception, a false Christ. Do we realize, brethren, we're a small flock. But except for God's true church, everyone else out there in the world is preaching the wrong Jesus, the wrong gospel, the wrong day of worship. They have the wrong attitude. They preach the wrong law. They have the wrong spirit, the wrong worship ways, the wrong Messiah. And yet, we can't say, wow, we have it all together, because there is a clever deception that we're always in danger of being taken into. It's a very clever deception that is even now threatening the true church of God. We have to remain true to the teachings of Christ. Let's go on, brethren, because we have a lot to cover. The second seal, the second horseman, that's a reference to wars. And we have that explained by Jesus Christ in Matthew 24, 6 and 7. You'll hear of wars and rumors of wars. Don't be upset. There's going to be a lot of them all down through history. Nations are going to rise and kingdoms are going to fall. And we can read in Revelation 6 and verse 4. There went out another horse that was red. Power was given unto him. This is about war. The third seal, the third horseman, that has to do with famine. Brethren, there have been famines down through history. But Jesus Christ tells us in Matthew 24, 7, there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in different places all around the world. We're told in Revelation 6, verses 5 and 6, that when Christ had opened the third seal, John heard the third beast say, come and see, and I beheld, lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hands. That had to do with famine, very little food in the world, not enough to go around, people starving around the world. The fourth seal, the fourth horseman, has to do with pestilence and disease, and epidemics, and all kind of new viruses and bugs that are resistant to every form of medicine. Jesus Christ says it very clearly in Matthew 24, 7, there shall be famines and pestilences and even earthquakes in the world in turmoil in diverse places. In Revelation 6 and verse 8, that's where it reveals what this pale horse is, this pestilence and disease. He that sat on him, his name was Death. Hell followed him. That's the grave. Power was given to him over a great deal of the earth, the fourth part of the earth, to kill with the sword and hunger and death and beasts. Brethren, there is a very, very terrible time just ahead of us. We've always seen these things, and some nations undergo terrific diseases and wars and famines and pestilences, but it's going to be unprecedented. So let's ask the question, what next? Because these four seals have been ongoing since the start of the New Testament church, and they're gradually, continually going to get worse and worse, culminating with what we know is coming, the man of sin, who Christ will destroy with the brightness of his coming. They'll culminate with worldwide domination and devastation and hunger and disease. That's what these four horsemen bring. And we're told in Matthew 24:8, all of these are the beginning of sorrows. Trouble's just starting. If that wasn't enough, the trouble is just about to begin. Brethren, we have come to this point right now in prophetic history. This is where we are, right before the tribulation. It lies at the door for us. Jesus says in Matthew 24, verse 21, For then shall be great tribulation, such was as not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor shall ever be. The pain, brethren, is just starting. It's just beginning. So then we come to the fifth seal. Remember, there are seven seals. The fifth seal is the tribulation. That's when it begins the 3.5 years. That's the wrath of Satan against the brethren. Now, he takes on the whole world, but Satan wants to destroy the church of God. We read in Revelation 13:4, and they worship the dragon, that's Satan, which gave power unto the beast. You see, that's the culmination of the fullness of the resurrection, the 10th and last resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire. They worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who's able to make war with him? Verse 5. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. That 42 month, that's 3.5 years. That's 2.5 years of Satan's wrath. And of course, Satan will continue to pour out his wrath the entire time. But that last year of the 3.5 years, that's the day of the Lord. That 1 year day of the Lord. That's when Jesus Christ is coming back to bring his wrath. And Satan's going to have tremendous power to destroy. And he's going to fight Jesus Christ to the very end. But Jesus Christ will not allow everyone to be killed, because he promises that the church is going to be preserved. We're told in Mark 13:20 and elsewhere, except that the Lord had shortened those days, there should be no flesh saved alive. So why is God stopping the carnage? But for the elect's sake, whom he has chosen, he has shortened the days. God has a plan. His plan is sure. He will not let the world be completely destroyed. He's going to allow the fighting and the war and everything to come to an end so that flesh will be preserved. That's for the church's sake. We read in Isaiah 34 and verse 8, "For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance and the year of recompenses for the controversy of Zion." Again, Zion is the church of God. And so it's a year's time when this has taken place. Revelation 13 and verse 6 talks about when the beast opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and all of them that dwell in heaven. Verse 7 talks about him making war with the saints. Brethren, that is religious persecution. Most, the majority of the people in God's church are going to go through serious religious persecution. That's how they will overcome. Matthew 24 and verse 14. "This gospel shall be preached in all the world for a witness to all nations, and then shall the end come." You know, we know that the original apostles preached the gospel. We know that the church of God's been preaching the gospel. And we also know that the two witnesses, they also are going to preach mightily. Revelation 10 and verse 11 says, "And the angel said unto John, you must prophesy again before many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings." Brethren, do not be surprised at a great worldwide work. Again, we think that under the last administration of Herbert W. Armstrong, we did a great work. Something that is going to cause that to pale into insignificance is yet coming with the end time witness. Let's not be waiting on heavenly signs. I've heard people in the church say, "Well, we haven't seen the signs in the heaven yet." The tribulation begins without warning. Let me describe the times when the fifth seal, the tribulation, begins. We're talking about seven seals. Let's talk about the fifth. People are going to be doing business as usual. There'll be no collapse of society yet. Little kids will be going to school in the zoo. Dads will be going to work. Construction industry will still provide jobs. Young moms will be going to the supermarket and getting supper. Luke 17, verse 26. "And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage. Until the day that Noah entered into the ark, the flood came and destroyed them all." Just all of a sudden, bang. "Likewise," verse 28, "also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, and they drank, and they bought, and they sold, and they planted, and they built." That's things going on normally. That's what Christ is telling us. "But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed." It's going to come as a big shock. No warning whatsoever. There will, brethren, however, be a telltale sign. True practicing Christians will be standing, taking a stand, standing up and being counted for the truth, and getting in trouble for it, being labeled troublemakers, being labeled as those who don't want peace, stirring things up. Persecution is the only telltale sign that marks the beginning of the fifth seal, the tribulation. It's the persecution of the true practicing Christians. Now, the non-performing Christians, that's those that just go to church and see their friends and warm a seat, and they're just lackadaisical. There's going to be a lot of them. It will seem to them that the practicing Christians brought the trouble on themselves. Those lukewarm Christians have a very serious lesson to learn. You read about that on your own time in Revelation 3, when Jesus Christ says, "I'm looking for you to buy of me gold tried in the fire." God says in Revelation 12:12, "Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil," that's Satan, "has come down to you having great wrath." He knows that he has but a short time. Satan knows better than anybody how short time is. "When the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman." That's the church, brethren. That's who's persecuted. "Which brings forth the man-child." Verse 14. "And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place." That's a place of safety and a place of protection, where just a very few are going to go. "Where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time." That's 3.5 years from the face of the serpent. That's when she'll be protected for those 3.5 years. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman. That's the brethren in the place of safety. Somehow God's going to use the elements of the earth to protect those people. The earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. Verse 17, Revelation 12 and verse 17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and he went to make war with the remnant of her seed. You see, brethren, Satan is going to come and make war with those who weren't qualified to be taken to the place of safety. They're still in the world. They're still going through all of these plagues. They're going through all of these troubles and tribulations and pestilences and famines and wars and all of those kind of things. They'll be keeping the commandments of God. They'll have the testimony of Jesus Christ, but they hadn't learned to lay their lives down yet. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 24 and verse 9. And they shall deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. John tells us in Revelation 6 and verse 9 that when he had opened the fifth seal, he saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. See, this is about the Christians who have been previously martyred. They were killed by the state, killed by the government, killed by those who bring the religious persecution. In effect, they're waiting, these souls under the altar, they're waiting for justice to be worked out by God, waiting for the vengeance of Christ. It's as if their blood cries out. It's allegorical. They're asking Christ to come and avenge their death. There's not anyone actually saying these words. They're just by their death, lying there, they're crying out for vengeance of God. Verse 10, Revelation 6 and verse 10. They cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, do you not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them. And this is those who died, who gave up their life, standing true. There will be Christians who will stand up for the truth and be martyrs in the last days. That's what Revelation 6 and verse 11 is talking about. Those who have white robes took a stand. They laid their life down. They did not yield. They didn't take the mark of the beast. And even those, Christ says, they should rest for a little while, a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. So all the Christians who don't make it to the place of safety are going to die violent deaths of martyrdom. Those are the brethren who die in the tribulation. Revelation 7 and verse 14. We see that those Christians who have not yet, up to the very beginning of the tribulation, fully indicated to God that they're willing to lay their lives down, as Jesus Christ did, in a spiritual way, they're going to have to lay their lives down by physically shedding their blood in the tribulation. Herbert Armstrong said that they became converted during the tribulation. That's the way that he put it. Now, in Revelation 7 and verse 14, one of the elders at the throne of God asked about the 144,000 who were sealed. Few people realize that though the tribulation is Satan's wrath, it is also the last act of love from God for his brethren to come out of the world. Satan is foiled. Jesus Christ is victorious. Revelation 7 and verse 14, I said to him, Sir, thou knowest, and he said unto me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes. They came out by dying. That's the way they came out. And made them white in the blood of the Lamb. They died as Jesus Christ did. The martyrdom of the brethren takes place during the tribulation, and the only ones who are not martyred are those that are in the place of safety. Okay, we come to the sixth seal. The sixth seal of the seven seals, seven trumpets, seven vials, the sixth seal. That's heavenly signs. God is warning the entire world. You read about that in Matthew 24, verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, the moon night give her light, and so forth. Joel, way back in the Old Testament, spoke of this. Joel 2 and verse 30, he says, And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood, fire, and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. Notice, brethren, the wrath of God is associated with the seventh seal. The seventh seal. Revelation 6 and verse 17. For the great day of his wrath is come. Who shall be able to stand? The seventh seal is the first trumpet. Revelation 8, verses 1 and 2. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about the space of an hour, and I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. The day of the Lord begins when the first trumpet sounds. And that seventh seal, which is the first trumpet, refers to a third of the trees and the grass being burnt. Revelation 8 and verse 7 tells us that the third part of the trees was burnt up, and all the green grass was burnt up. Now, we'll see after a while that the grass does come back. When you burn a field, the roots live, and the grass comes back. But that's what happens. That's the first trumpet. You see all the grass getting burnt up. And brethren, you can imagine, what kind of cattle industry are you going to have when that takes place? The second trumpet, the sea becomes like blood. The third trumpet, a third of the fresh water becomes bitter. The fourth trumpet, a third of the light is taken, the sun, the moon, the stars. The fifth trumpet is those three woes that I mentioned. So the last of the three trumpets, the fifth, sixth, and the seventh trumpet, are the first, second, and the third woe. Again, don't get confused in this order. We saw the seven seals, now we come to the trumpets. We came down to the fifth trumpet, we have three woes. The first woe is war with Satan. The second woe is a third of mankind slain. The third woe is the first vial. That's the seventh trumpet. That's the first vial, grievous sores. So, brethren, I know I'm throwing it at you fast, but I'm going to keep going over it and over it so that we can get this 7, 7, 7. God wants us to understand it. God went to the trouble of giving it so clearly to John, and John laid it out in chart form for us. It is so clear. We're in the seventh seal. That's where all the trumpets are. The fifth trumpet, that's the first woe. That's war with Satan. Jesus said in Luke chapter 10 and verse 18, I beheld Satan as lightning falling from heaven. Okay, what we see is Satan's power being unleashed. That's the first woe. That's the fifth trumpet. The first woe. War with Satan. His power is turned loose. Right now, Satan is not able to destroy the whole world, as he did before the time of Adam and Eve, as he did at the time of the flood, except God stopped him and allowed eight souls to survive the flood. Satan's power is going to be unleashed, and there's going to be worldwide devastation. We read in Revelation 9 and verse 1, the fifth angel sounded. This is talking about the fifth trumpet. The fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven to the earth. That's Satan. To him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Satan is being turned loose. He's locked up. His powers are diminished. But at this point, he's turned loose. And the demons go forth around the world. Verse 2. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke in the pit. This is many, many demonic spirits that are being released on the earth. And they go into soldiers, futuristic soldiers, with brand new weapons, weapons that you and I haven't even thought of. I don't know what they're going to have, laser guns and things that you and I haven't even thought of. They're futuristic weapons. And they're going to be possessed of demons. It is possible for men to be possessed of demons. And that's what the demons are going to do when they get turned loose. Can you imagine a war with demonic men, crazed, going to the four corners of the earth? Revelation 9 and verse 3. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power as scorpions of the earth have power. Scorpions can sting. Now, brethren, keep in mind, only the true saints are protected at this time. Those saints who are caught up in the tribulation have so much to go through. Revelation 9 and verse 4. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree. So God still puts some limits on Satan and the demons. They can't destroy the earth as they did before the time of Adam and Eve. They can't destroy all the grass and all the trees. But they can destroy the men which aren't sealed. But only those men which have not the seal of God in their forehead. So all the unconverted enemies of God are fair game to these demonic military forces. Revelation 9 and verse 5. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he strikes a man. Well, that can make you sick. Only known one man that got stung by a scorpion, but it put him in bed and made him terribly sick and he couldn't walk. Revelation 9 and verse 10, and their power was to hurt men for 5 months. So Satan then goes and he empowers the beast power to go to war. Revelation 9 and verse 11, all of these demons, they had a king over them. All of these army people who were possessed, they had a king, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue, it has his name, Apollyon. Okay, brother, now we come to the seventh seal again, but now we're in the sixth trumpet. All of this takes place in the seventh seal, but we're in the sixth trumpet. So we had one trumpet, two, three, four, five, six. So this must be the second woe. Yes, the second trumpet, the second woe. A third of the people on earth die. Right now there are about 6 or 7 billion people with a B. That means that over 2 billion of mankind are going to die at the time of this second woe, of this sixth trumpet. This is the day of trumpets. God wants us to look at this. We don't often talk about all these prophecies. Sometimes people go, oh, I don't like this kind of stuff. Brethren, it's time to understand. It's getting very, very close. The world is going to go through it. This world's not going to go on with just a little bump in the road. Everything is going to be turned upside down on its ears. The nations are angry. We read in Revelation 9, verses 12 through 16. The first woe is past, and then there are two more woes to come. The sixth angel sounded. I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loose, and they prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year. I take that to mean that one angel prepared for an hour, and another one prepared for a day, and another one prepared for a month, and one prepared for a year. So these are different plagues. Some of them are short-lived, some of them are long-lived, for to slay the third part of men. So over the course of this year, and that's how long this one then goes on, there are going to be one-third of the people of the earth killed. And at the same time, there's going to be 200 million horsemen, which mean they're not just on foot without the guns and so forth. That's going to kill one-third of the people on earth. We read in Jeremiah 46 and verse 10, for this is the day of the Lord God of hosts, a day of vengeance, that he may avenge him of his adversaries. Brethren, all of this is because God is allowing these demons to do their dirty work, but it's God's vengeance on the earth, that God may avenge himself of his adversaries. Man has been fighting against God for 6,000 years and having his way a lot of the time. God's going to say, the jig is up, that's it, time's up. And the sword shall devour, and it shall be satiated and made drunk with their blood. For the Lord God of hosts hath a sacrifice in the north country by the river Euphrates. So that's how John is writing about this in the book of Revelation. He reads about it back in Jeremiah. God inspires him to do that. Men will be dying because they have rejected God. These trumpet plagues are for the purpose of bringing men to repentance. I started off today talking about the prophet Joel going to Nineveh and saying, repent. God is giving mankind on the face of the earth the opportunity to repent. That's what all this is for. It's not hatred on God's part. God is turning up the heat, dialing up the torment, saying, if you don't repent, it's going to get worse and worse and worse, for the purpose of allowing men the opportunity to repent. Notice how it reads in Revelation 9 and verse 20. And the rest of men, which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not. That is hard-headed. That is recalcitrant. They repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and wood, which can't see and they can't hear and they can't walk. Neither repented they of their murders. See, mankind's not ready to repent. They just want to fight Christ. They haven't repented of their sorceries, nor their fornication, nor their thefts. Then, after Revelation 9, we come to this intriguing part in the scripture, these 10 thunders of Revelation. They're all in Revelation 10, there's 10 thunders. They bring about the conclusion of matters. It's as though the powerful angel says, the jig is up. It's all over with. There's no more opportunity to repent. There's only the final resolution of the matter. It says in Revelation 10 and verse 6, there should be time no longer. You don't have time to repent anymore. Verse 7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, that he hath declared to his servants the prophets. We can see, brethren, that there's so much to cover on this day of trumpets. But this is the last warning to mankind. He says, you must prophesy again. And how's that going to take place? The two witnesses. We see that in verse 3. And then the two witnesses are slain. They're killed in verse 7. After 3.5 days, the Spirit of life from God entered into the two witnesses, and they stood on their feet. We read that in verse 11. Boy, did that cause great fear to fall on all the people that saw that. Brethren, we come to the last feast of Pentecost before the return of Jesus Christ to this earth in great power. Jesus is going to return on trumpets, but what we're talking about here, this day that the witnesses come back to life and so forth, that's on the last Pentecost before Jesus Christ comes back on the last trumpets. We read in Revelation 11 and verse 12, and the two witnesses, they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up here. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies behind them. That's when we're going also, the saints, we're going to meet up with Jesus Christ and the two witnesses and all the other saints who have ever lived. Those saints who have learned to lay their lives down, just as Jesus did, they are resurrected and they're accepted by God the Father in heaven, just as the wave sheaf was accepted by God the Father. Will be accepted by God the Father to become the bride of the Lamb of God. That's a fantastic thing, brethren. We read in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 52, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Yes, no longer flesh and blood. Changed into spirit beings and caught up in the air with Christ and carried by Christ up to the throne of God the Father, before God the Father. We read in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede those which are asleep. We all go in at the same time. Old Testament, New Testament Christians, the Christians who are alive, the Christians who died during the tribulation, those who are in a place of safety, the two witnesses, all at the same time are caught up. Verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. So we just all merge in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And after that, we'll always be with the Lord. We're carried, we're transported by Jesus Christ to the throne of God. It's after these events of the last Passover, before the throne of God in heaven, that the seven last plagues are poured out on the earth. That's when the plagues are poured out on the earth, when the saints of God have been carried away. Revelation 4 and verse 6 says, and before the throne, this is speaking of the throne of God the Father, there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. It says in Revelation 15, 2, and I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire. This is before the throne of God. And the saints that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name, they stand on the sea of glass having the harps of God. That's Revelation 15 and verse 2. So brethren, after all of that, we come to the seventh trumpet. We've seen the seven seals. Now we're at the seventh trumpet. This is the third woe. It's also the first of the seven vials, the plagues of God that are going to be poured out on the earth after the church of God, all the saints, after the witnesses are carried to the throne of God. This is the complete fulfillment of God's wrath. Revelation 11 and verse 14. The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe comes quickly. Verse 15, the seventh angel sounded. This is the seventh trumpet. And there was a great voice in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forevermore. You can see it's coming to a conclusion, culminating in the return of Christ. Verse 18, and the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come. In the time of the dead, that they shall be judged, and that they should give reward to your servants, the prophets and the saints, and them that fear your name, small and great, and should destroy those who destroy the earth. Revelation 11 and verse 19. The temple of God was open in heaven. This is the true temple. And then we come to the famous battle of Armageddon. That's what follows next. In Revelation 15, we see another sign from heaven. We see these seven angels with the seven last plagues. For in them is filled up the wrath of God. So we see that the seventh trumpet is the complete fulfillment of God's wrath on this earth against those idolaters, those haters of God. And so you can read about that down through Revelation 15, verse 7. It talks about the four beasts gave unto the seven angels the seven golden vials full of the wrath of God. And I heard, this is in 16:1, Revelation 16 and verse 1, I heard a great voice out of the temple, this is in heaven, saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. Here comes big trouble, brethren. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Somehow, every eye on earth is going to see Christ before he actually gets back to the earth. The kings of the earth, this is Revelation 6 and verse 15. The great men, the rich men, the chief captains, the mighty men, and every bondman, every freeman, they hid themselves in the dens and the rocks and the mountains and the caves and so forth. They said, fall on us, mountain, fall on us, rocks, hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. They know they're in big trouble with Christ coming back. For great is the day of his wrath. Great is the day of his wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand? The answer is no one. That's what today pictures, brethren. God is going to clean house in this world for those who are the enemies of Jesus Christ. We read in Zephaniah 1 and verse 18, your silver and your gold are not going to deliver you in those days of the Lord's wrath. The whole land is going to be devoured by the fire of God's jealousy. He shall make a speedy riddance of all of them that dwell in the land. It's going to happen real quick. It's going to happen in that period of time from that last Pentecost until the day that Christ returns on the Feast of Trumpets. So then we come to the first vial. We see what it is. We've gone through seven seals and we've gone through seven trumpets. So we're down to the first vial of the seventh trumpet. And we find out that seventh vial is grievous sores. You read Revelation 16:2. And there fell a noisome and gruesome sores upon men which had the mark of the beast and those that worshipped his image. Then we come to the second vial. The sea is as blood. And brethren, why does God pick these different things? Why is the sea like blood? Well, the Bible tells us why it's like blood. He didn't say it's like vinegar. He didn't say it's like acid. He didn't say it's like tar. He said it's like blood. The second angel poured out his vial upon the sea and it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul in the sea died. That's hard for the fishing industry when that takes place, isn't it? The third vial shows that the rivers become as blood. The third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and the fountains of water, and they became as blood. The Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 12 and verse 19, where God says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. This is the vengeance of Jesus Christ on this idolatrous earth. Verse 5, Revelation 16 and verse 5. And I heard the angel of the water say, thou art righteous, Lord, which art and was and shall be, because you have judged us. What this is saying is the angel says, Jesus Christ was right to pour out these vials, the one that made the sea like blood and the one that made the rivers like blood. And he was right to make it like blood. Why? Revelation 16:6 tells us why Jesus Christ was righteous to make it like blood, make the ocean like blood, make the rivers like blood. For they, the ones upon whom the wrath of God is coming, they have shed the blood of the saints and the prophets. They shed innocent blood. So God turns their ocean into blood. He turns their rivers into blood. And you have given them blood to drink. For that's what they deserve. That's what they're worthy of, it says in verse 6. Then we come to the third woe. This is the fourth vial. We're still in the third woe, the fourth vial. This is the sun scorches. Brethren, those of you that keep up with astronomy and studying sunspots and weather patterns caused by the sun and everything, knows that the sun fluctuates. What we have here is the worst solar flare ever. and it's going to strike the earth. Every now and then, we hear on the news, there was a big solar flare. Boom, just blows up hundreds of thousands of miles out into space. Fortunately, it misses the earth, and it goes off into space and misses the earth. But this one is going to strike the earth. It's very clear. Revelation 16, verses 8 and 9, the angel pours out his vial upon the sun, and power was given to him to scorch men with fire. Men were scorched with great heat, those that blaspheme the name of the Lord. They have power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. Notice, they still do not repent. They are recalcitrant. Verse 26 of Isaiah 30. Isaiah 30 and verse 26. Way back then, Isaiah wrote, "Moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun." Can you imagine the reflected light that comes off of the moon makes the moon look like the sun? That's how much of a flash the sun is going to make. Just the little bit of sun that falls on the surface of the moon is going to make the moon shine like the sun at noonday. The light of the sun is going to be seven times as strong in the light of 7 days in one day. And in the day that the Lord binds up the breach of his people and heals the stroke of their wound. I don't even know how anybody survives on the earth, but there are some that will. Okay, we come to the fifth vial. That's darkness. So after all of this, we go into the opposite direction. Bright, brilliance, then we go to darkness. The fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain. That could be from nuclear explosions throwing dust into the atmosphere and just blocking out the sun, or who knows what it is. And they repented not of their deeds, it says in verse 11. They still didn't repent. Verse 15 of Zephaniah chapter 1. Zephaniah 1 verse 15. That day is the day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness, desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. So then we come to the sixth vial. There are seven vials. Remember, there were seven seals, seven trumpets, and seven vials. Now we've come to the sixth vial. The Euphrates River dries up. The sixth angel, we're told in Revelation 16, verses 12 through 14, the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up. That's the way the king of the east could get prepared, gather them to battle in that great day of Almighty God. You know, the demonic spirits spread to the evil kings of the earth. Now let me mention, brethren, something as we come to this last vial. God created the earth in stages, and he did so for a dwelling place for mankind. In ages past, way before Adam and Eve, that was 6,000 years ago, there was a great upheaval in the earth's surface. Tremendous earthquakes took place when the earth's colliding tectonic plates just pushed up 14,000-foot mountains out in Colorado. They pushed up 29,000-foot mountains over in the Himalayas. And I wonder, could man have survived that? But that was before man was on the earth. The scriptures reveal, Revelation, that this last set of earthquakes will be more devastating than those earthquakes way back then. Why? I read an article about an atomic bomb test back around World War II in Trinity, New Mexico. Now they had to go back after that and plow under the surface to clean up the residual radiation. How much more will this entire earth be in need of cleansing after all this world conflagration with this coming great earthquake? God is going to restore the entire surface of the earth to bring it back to the way that he originally created it. By the end of the millennium, the whole earth is going to be like the Garden of Eden, but there's got to be a lot of war and weaponry and radiation and all those things that needs to be buried. We're told in Psalm 104:30, you send forth their spirit, they're created. You renew the face of the earth. God's able to do that. So now, brethren, we come to the seventh seal, the seventh trumpet, the third woe, and the seventh vial. This is the last vial. And this is that great earthquake. And we read about that in Revelation 16, verses 17 through 21. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air. And there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne of God saying, "It is done. God's wrath is complete. God's wrath is finished." And there were voices and thunders and lightnings. And notice this. this great earthquake, the seventh vial. There was a great earthquake, such as was not since man were upon the earth. This is going to be an earthquake that is worse than anything that has ever hit the earth since man has been on this earth. It's so mighty of an earthquake, so great, that there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven. Every stone about the weight of a talent. I don't know how much a talent is. It's more than 100 pounds. It's like dropping somebody weighs as much as another person on your head. You don't survive these great hailstones. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceedingly great. You can see how the earth is going to shake and shake and shake. That's a good study for you, brethren, if you look that up in Revelation, how the earth is going to be shaken. But picture this. For those who are on the earth at that time, it's going to be like the days before Adam and Eve. Remember when the earth became Tohu and Bohu and Choshek? That's without form, just totally void, and darkness, just like you read about in Genesis chapter 2. Now, where are the saints while this is happening? The saints are still with the Father and the Son. They're on a spiritual honeymoon above all this fracas that's taking place on earth. We read in Revelation 19:1, "And after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation, glory, honor and power unto the Lord God, for true and righteous are his judgments." God handled this in balance and correctly and with equity and righteousness. "For he hath judged the great whore, and which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand." So God is avenging the earth for what they did to his saints. God is destroying those who didn't believe in God, who didn't worship God, who hated God. Revelation 19 and verse 7. "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready." That's where the church of God's going to be, not going through all this tumult on the earth. Verse 8. "And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints." Verse 9. "And he said unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, These are the true sayings of God." Brethren, these are the true sayings of God. This is the way it's going to happen. This is the way it's going to be. And it's shortly before us. There's no time for nonsense. There's no time for churches to be going around trying to water things down. We need to return to our Creator God and worship him in spirit and truth. Revelation 19 and verse 11. "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True." That's Jesus Christ on that white horse. This is Jesus Christ on this white horse. "And in righteousness he doth judge and make war." And what's Jesus doing? He's coming back to clean up the last strongholds of evil on the face of this earth. But he's not going to do it alone. Revelation 19:14. "And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in linen, white and clean." Brethren, that's the saints of God coming back with Jesus Christ. Remember, we were ever with the Lord. We're not going to be separated from Christ. We will be with him when he returns on this white steed. Verse 19, "And I saw the beast, the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse, and against his army." That's you and me, brethren. Verse 20, "And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him." You see those demonic miracles. "With which he deceived them which had received the mark of the beast, and them that had worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the remnant," verse 21, "were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse." The remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse. Jesus Christ takes his sword and kills these kings of the earth, these nations that fought against him, which sword proceeds out of his mouth. "And all the fowls of the air," that's the buzzards, "were filled with their flesh." You can read about that. There's two suppers in Revelation 19. The supper, the wedding supper, and then this supper where all the buzzards eat all the kings. Zephaniah chapter 1 and verse 7. "Hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand. For the Lord hath prepared a sacrifice, and he has bid his guests." Verse 8. "And it shall come to pass in the day of the Lord's sacrifice. This is where all these kings are being sacrificed that fought against Christ. That I will punish the princes and the king's children and all such as were clothed with strange apparel. Notice they don't have on the white robes of righteousness that we saw in the saints a few moments ago. And so now, brethren, we have come to the 777. We've finished the seventh seal, the seventh trumpet, the seventh vial. They're finished. We have counted right up to the point where Jesus Christ has returned to the earth, and all of this is completed. Zechariah 14 and verse 4. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a great valley. I picture it being somewhat like the Grand Canyon almost there. It just split in two. That's part of that huge earthquake. And half of the mountain shall remove towards the north and half of it towards the south. If you stood there at the east gate and looked over at the Mount of Olives, you could just see some of it just moving off to the north and some of it moving off to the south. Jerusalem is very high country. And then a river comes forth. It's a source of a river flowing out of it. Spiritually, it's a picture of the living waters which will proceed from Jesus Christ and the saints. Brethren, that's what is pictured by this day of trumpets. Let's close in Revelation 11 in verse 15 on this day of trumpets. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever.